Amen. Thank you. You can be seated and go to Matthew chapter 6 in your Bible. Matthew chapter 6, that's the first book of the New Testament. And I appreciate you turning there so you can see the words of Jesus this morning, what he said. It is so good to be here this morning. And I'm so thankful for Anthony Stocking and that incredible ministry to help people. If you know of anyone in need or you're in need at the holidays, grab an application at the welcome desk. Take it to whoever it is you've got in mind, fill that out, and bring it back because we want to help as many families as we can this year. We're so excited about that. What a great ministry of generosity. How many of you guys would agree that our God is a generous God? Say amen, huh? He's a generous God. Hey, he gave his only begotten son. What did Jesus do? Jesus gave his what? His life on the cross, the Holy Spirit comes and fills us in abundance, the Bible says. All three members of the Godhead demonstrate radical generosity to us. God the Father gave his Son, the Son gave his life, the Holy Spirit gives us unending power. And so God demonstrates generosity for us within the Godhead. And that's the way God wants us to live. The Bible teaches that God is very generous and that God loves to see a generous heart. It really connects with God. The two greatest commands in the Bible are to love the Lord with all your heart and to love your neighbor as yourself. I don't have any clue how we are going to obey those commands without generosity. And you see the picture up on the screen, open-handed. And that's a great visual. It's the idea that, you know what, everything I have, God gave to me. Everything I have is a blessing from him. So therefore, it's all out here on the table. I want God to take it and use it. I want to share it. I want to be open-handed. I want to share. I want to be generous. The opposite of that would be the idea of, you know, closed-fisted. I'm going to live a life that it's mine. Don't we learn at a young age to go, mine. Mine. My little two-year-old grandson, Connor, we've been keeping him all weekend. Let me tell you something. He does not live an open-handed life when it comes to his blankie or his sippy cup. You know, we learn at a young age, you know, he sees Landon playing with something and he goes and grabs it from Landon, the four-year-old brother. And then Landon will go to move something else and then Connor wants that. And then Landon moves something else and then Connor wants that, you know. And when he gets something, man, I mean, it's like mine, you know. And question, can adults live that way, yes or no? Oh, yeah. Yeah, we don't necessarily ever outgrow that, do we? Unless it's through Christ. And that's what I want to talk about today. I want to talk about how we can outgrow that through Christ. You see, here's the reality. I didn't invent these statistics. I'm just sharing them. We have a problem with it in America, because in America, even professing believers, people who say, I'm a Christ follower, the national average is believers in Christ are only given like 1-2% a year to God or to others to help other people. You know, whether it's to God, their local church, a charity, 1-2%, like a penny of every dollar. That's not very good, is it? You know, and why is that though? Why as Americans are we struggling with this issue? Because this is an issue that's covered in the Bible. So therefore we got to talk about it. And I think it's a very important issue, as we're going to see this morning. Why do we struggle with this? Is it because most Americans live in poverty? We're just in absolute poverty and we just have nothing to give. Well, I don't think that's the case. I think that it goes back to what we learned recently in our life groups. If you're in a life group, a small group, this was covered recently in one of your lessons, and that is that every single one of us in here, we tend to have a mindset of one of three things, either spender, saver, or a servant when it comes to our financial resources. Spender, saver, servant. A spender, of course, spends most of their money. A saver is focused on trying to accumulate. And a servant is somebody who really They get it that, yeah, you got to spend money to live here on earth, and you need to save so that you're not, you know, mooching off your kids when you're older, you know. So there is a point, and there's a place for spending, there's a place for saving. But a servant, they're really focused on what can I give away? What can I do to help the cause of Christ on earth? That's their focus. And so therefore I want to try to limit, you know, my spending within reason. And I want to try to limit my saving within reason so that I can then bless others and bless God. In your handout, it kind of has a great way of putting this. And again, you might have got this in your life group, but it's a great review for you. Number one there, it says, spenders maximize the value of money today. In other words, a spender is like, how can money help me today? What can I buy? What can I get? You know, this money's burning a hole in my pocket, man. How can I spend it, you know? And then a saver, that's the next blank. Savers, they maximize the value of money in the future. Their idea of money is, hey, this is going to bring me security one day. This is going to bring me stability one day. This is going to bring me freedom one day. And then the last one there is servants. Servants, those who have a servant mindset, they maximize the value of money in eternity. In other words, their attitude is, how can my resources impact eternity? Hey, how can I make eternity look different because I lived here, you know, on this earth for a while? How can I make eternity look different? How can my resources actually change the course of souls out there in eternity? What's it going to do for eternity? And kind of, you know, I think there's bleed over in all three of these, you know. Of course, the goal is we want to be servants, obviously, like Christ. But I think there's bleed over in all three of these. And there's times when we're spender, time when we're saver, time when we maybe have a servant. But it's kind of like, you know, if you want to know what you are primarily, a great test of that is, okay, you got some unexpected money. Maybe it's a tax return. You know, people are like, whoa, I got extra money. Really, that's not extra money. Did you know that tax return was yours to begin with? You know the government did not gift you that money, right? That was your money. You overpaid Uncle Sam, and he's sending you back money you overpaid him. So that really isn't extra money, but that's a whole nother story, all right? But you got this check, you know, that you weren't expecting. And so a spender's like, man, what can I buy? You know, and a saver's like, we better put this away for a rainy day. And then a servant's first thought is, yeah, we may need to spend some of this, and yeah, we probably ought to save some of this too. But what could we do to help someone else? What could we do to help the cause of Christ? What could we do to bless other people, bless my church, bless God, whatever? But that's a servant mindset. That doesn't happen by accident. Servants who are impacting eternity, they're not doing that by accident. There are some biblical, I mean, rooted right here in this Bible, there are some biblical commitments that they have made. They're like, you know what? Here's how I'm going to live my life. You got to have some commitments. You got to have some convictions in your life. If you don't have some convictions and some commitments, you're just going to kind of like float through life and you're not going to make an impact. You know, now for us, I know Denise and I, we made these commitments when we were young marrieds. You know, I have to be that. You may make these commitments as a teenager. You may make these biblical commitments when you're in your middle age, and it's like, you know, you're kind of in the height of, you know, of your work career and you know, bringing in, and that's when you make these commitments. It could be as a senior citizen you make these commitments. It doesn't matter when you make them. The point is that you need to make these commitments. I'm not preaching to you something that I haven't endeavored to live. Because Denise and I decided when we were young married people that we were going to be generous. We just decided, you know what? We love to give. We love to be generous. We really enjoy that. We know that's what God wants us to do. And so we made these commitments to enable us to be able to live that way in our life. Now here we are 32 years later, and praise God, you know, he's enabled us to do that, and we're very thankful for that. But the first commitment is this. Number one, here's the three commitments. They're all rooted right in Scripture, as we're going to see. The first commitment is this. If we're going to have a servant mindset regarding our resources, the first commitment you got to have is I will not live for the material, but for the eternal. Now, what is a materialist? If you were to look that up, here's what it means. Someone who would say, I'm a materialist, then they believe that only what they can see and touch is reality. That podium is real because I can see it, I can touch it. That speaker is real because I can see it and I can touch it. That tie is real because I can see it and I can touch it. But if I can't see it and I can't touch it, it's not reality. That's a true materialist. Okay? So a materialist would scorn any thought of God. They would scorn any thought of heaven or angels or eternal reward. If I can't see it, if I can't touch it, then it's not real. Another definition of materialism, that's a materialist. Materialism in Webster's dictionary is this. Here's what it says. A preoccupation with, or a stress upon material rather than spiritual things. So that's materialism. It's when you're preoccupied with material things rather than spiritual things. Let me ask you a question, guys. Talk to me. Can a believer in Christ, a follower of Jesus, can they still struggle with materialism? Yes or no? Yes. Do you think Jesus knew that? I think he knew, right? That's why he said what he said in Matthew 6 that we're going to read here in a second, is that the problem is this. A Christ follower would never say they were a materialist, right? Because it's like, doesn't make any sense. You can't see Jesus. So it's like, so a Christ follower is not going to say they're a materialist. But yet many times we live our lives like a materialist. We're preoccupied with the material rather than the spiritual. Well, what did Jesus say? Jesus knew we were going to struggle. He knew we would, and he warned us. Look at Matthew 6, verse 19 in your Bible. I'll put it up on the screen here too, but if you don't have a Bible. But I want you to see it in your Bible. I'm going to read from the Modern English Version, which is an updated King James Version, okay? But if you have a King James, it's going to read very similar. Look at verse 19. It says, do not store up for yourselves treasures where? On earth. That wasn't very strong. I wish I could get a little bit more response today from you guys. Hey, listen, you guys do want to go to lunch today, right? Cooperate. All right, look at it again. It says, do not store, this is Jesus' words now, not mine. Do not store up for yourselves treasures where? On earth, thank you. Where moth and rust destroy, where thieves break in and steal. Okay, now look at this, verse 20. But store up for yourselves treasures where? In heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroy, where thieves do not break in or steal. And then look at that, verse 21. For where your treasure is, there will your what? Heart be also. Would you guys agree with me? That is a warning about materialism. Amen? All right. The Apostle Paul wrote to the church, people like us, the churches. He warned of materialism. Look in your handout. Look at the bottom of your handout. Colossians 3, 1 and 2. If you then be risen with Christ. In other words, you're saved. You're a Christ follower. Seek those things which are where, church? Above. Where Christ sits on the right hand of God. Set your affection, set your heart on things above, not on things on the earth. That is to the point. A direct admonition not to embrace materialism. I mean, it can't get any more direct than that. So I want you to think of it this way. We saw the biblical principle. Let's think of it this way. Your life is like a dot. If we could kind of bring that up. Yeah. So you see the dot? That's you. That's your life. You think about thousands of years of history. You're one little part of thousands of years of history. So we're like one little speck, we're one little dot, and that dot represents our life. It's brief, it's like a vapor, the Bible says, like a smell is here and gone, right? It begins, it ends, it's brief. From that dot, though, extends a line that goes on forever. And guess what? That line is eternity. And if you know Jesus and you're a believer in Christ, you are going to get to spend eternity in heaven with Jesus Christ. Amen? Now, right now, we're living in the dot. But what are we living for? You see, a materialist lives for the dot. The person with perspective, the servant mindset, lives for the line. The person who lives for the dot lives for treasures on earth that are going to end up in junkyards. The person who lives for the line, they are living for treasures in heaven that will never end. When we're generous, we're living for the line. When we're tight-fisted, we're living for the dot. You see, all of us are going to part with our money. We're all going to part with our stuff. Did you know that? How's the saying go? Well, that's not the saying I had in mind, but that's a good one. You can't take it with you. That's a good one. It's not the one I was thinking of. I was thinking of the one that the saying that says, you've never seen a U-Haul behind a hearse. True. You're not going to take it with you. How much of it are you going to leave behind? All of it. So we all are going to part with it. The question is when. We don't have a choice to part with it, whether we're going to part with it or not when we die. That's just going to happen. But we do have a choice whether to part with it while we're alive. A materialist selfishly clings to earthly treasures, lives for the dot. Generosity, it says in your handout, that allows us to enjoy eternal treasures that will never, never, never be taken from us. There's a passage of scripture that talks about this. I'm going to bring it up on the screen. Let's bring it up. Look at this. This is so good. This is exactly what we just talked about, and boom, it's all rooted right in the Bible. He says, command those who are rich in this world that they be not conceited nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God who richly gives us all things to enjoy. And then he says, command that they do good, that they be rich in good works, generous, willing to share. Notice the result, laying up in store for themselves a good foundation for the coming age so that they may take hold of eternal life. Living for the line. He says, here's how you live for the line instead of living for the dot. He says, do good, rich in good works, generous, willing to share. Number two, there's a second commitment that those with a servant mindset make, and that is this: I will cap my spending so I can be generous. You see, many times we may have a desire to be generous, but our spending is so out of control that there's nothing left at the end of our paychecks. If we're going to be servants and if we're going to live for eternity, there has to come a point, there's got to come a point where we cap our spending by a carefully considered limit. Now, I got to tell you, if you do that, you are among the few. Because most people give this little to no thought. As their income increases, so does their spending. And there is absolutely no concept of, I make enough to live comfortably. So therefore, as my income goes up, I'm not going to keep increasing my spending. I'm going to cap it. And so as I get more income, I'm going to give away the excess. That's a servant mindset, but it's very rare. There's a Christian singer in the 1990s, a real pioneer. His music's incredible. He's in heaven now. His name's Rich Mullins. And he was amazing. His music's still amazing. It's still considered some of the best ever. And he was kind of one of the pioneers of Christian contemporary music. And Rich Mullins, when he began his career, early on in his career, he really felt like that money was beginning to corrupt him. He was making more and more money, and it was just really beginning to kind of corrupt him. And he realized that, and so what he did is he told his accountant, he said, look, he said, I want you to give me what the average American family makes, and then I want you to give away the rest of it. I don't want to see it. I don't even want to know what it is. Just give it away. Here's what, just give me what I need to live by just a normal American standard, and then give away the rest of it. That's a servant mindset. Instead of that, the temptation is to be covetous and to want more and more and bigger and better and newer and nicer. Guess what? God warned about that too. And in your handout, it's right there. Look at it. He says, First Timothy 6, 9 and 10. It's in your handout. But those who desire to be rich fall into temptation and a snare and into many foolish and harmful lusts which drown men in ruin and destruction. For the love of money is the what? Root of all evil. While coveting after money, some have strayed from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. You see, a servant's attitude is opposite of that. A servant mindset is, rather than just accumulating more and more and increasing my lifestyle, and I got to have bigger, and I got to have better, and I got to have nicer, and I got to move up the ladder, there's this desire, no, you know what, I'm okay right where I'm at. I want to give more to God. I want to give more to His work. I want to further Christ's work. I want to live for the line, not the dot. And their utmost desire is to glorify God with their resources. I love the verse right under that. Look in your handout. I love that verse. In fact, let's say it together. Psalm 62:10. You ready? Say it with me. If riches increase, set not your heart upon them. Isn't that awesome? That's a great verse. You see, how we view our money and our spending, I'm telling you right out, flat out. I'm just being honest with you. You're not going to hear this probably anywhere else, so I got to tell you here. Because no one else is going to, you got to have people in your life that'll be the voice of truth in your ear. And what I'm going to say from here to the rest of the message, it may be like medicine going down a little bit, but I want you to know it's really good for you, and it's truth, and it's rooted in Scripture, and it's what God's Word says, and it will help you so much. Here's the deal, okay? How we view our money and our spending really tells God a lot about our heart. Tells Him a lot about our heart. Think about it. Money is really just a representation of your life. That's all it is. When you work 40 hours, you get a paycheck. That money represents 40 hours of your life. That's 40 hours of your life that you used up at work. You're never going to get that 40 hours back. That paycheck represents your life, a part of your life. When we control our spending and we're generous, what we're basically saying is, God, I recognize my life is not just about me, it's about You. My life is not about how much I can get, how much I can accumulate down here. My life's not about getting newer and better things all the time. It's about You, and it's about eternity. So the second commitment of people who have a servant mindset, I'm going to cap my spending. Number three, the third and last commitment, and this is another one that we made back when we were young marrieds, I will control my debt. You see, uncontrolled spending leads to uncontrolled debt. And in your handout, it says that uncontrolled debt prohibits us from living a generous Christ-like life. You see, a lot of people, once they pay their creditors, there's nothing left to be generous with. I get that. I know some of you right now in here, listen, I want you to know, I get it. I'm not living in a bubble. I know that many are like paycheck to paycheck because of the debt. And I get it. I really do. And I understand that generosity is going to be very hard for you until you dig yourself out of the hole that you're in. But you can dig yourself out. I want you to know you can get out of that hole. There is hope. Clint spent a whole hour last Sunday night. I wish all of you could have heard it. But Clint spent an hour in here on the Sunday night series talking about the track for getting out of debt and how to do it and do it pretty quickly. And he showed a video of just common, ordinary, everyday people with common, every ordinary jobs. I mean, not high-paying jobs. They were like $150,000 in debt, and they got out in 2 years. And then they were just celebrating that. They were out of that bondage. Because the Bible teaches, look at your handout. Look at Proverbs 22:7. It says, the rich rules over the poor, and the borrower is what, church? Servant to the lender. And the next statement in your handout, it says that when we're in debt, we have lost our freedom to some degree. And it is so true. The deeper you go in debt, the more freedom you lose. The average credit card debt of an American home today is over $7,000. The average mortgage loan debt is $156,000. And the average student loan is $32,000. And if you take out households that don't have credit card debt and you just look at households that have any kind of credit card debt, the average is over $15,000 in credit card debt. Hey, listen, I'm going to let you in on a little something. Did you know that the people that own the credit cards, did you know they love it when you just pay the interest? Did you know they love that? Because they're charging you an exorbitant amount of interest, and they absolutely love it. They love it. They love people just paying exorbitant interest to them. That's how they make their money. And, you know, first 10 years we were married, we didn't even use a credit card. Now, I know that people today can't even fathom that. I know we live in a different age. I get it. But when I was first preaching, you know, and I was pastoring, I was, you know, I'd tell people, I'd be like, some of you guys are deep in debt, and you know what? First thing you need to do is I'd tell them, you need to have plastic surgery. You need to get some scissors and cut up those credit cards so that you're not tempted anymore to keep going out and doing it. People just go out and they don't think about the bill coming in, you know, and they don't think about the exorbitant amount of interest they're going to pay on that, you know. And so, you know, here's the deal. The Bible teaches that there's no way that we can be effective soldiers for Christ if we're entangled in the affairs of this world. Now, look, we all got to deal with the affairs of this world. God knows that. He didn't say not to deal with it. We all got to deal with everyday life. He said don't get entangled in the affairs of this world. There's a difference. And the word borrow, if you look it up, the word borrow in the Greek, it means to entangle. Borrow means to entangle. Now, all debt is not sinful, but too much debt prohibits us from living lives of generosity like our Savior. And if you're in debt today, you can get out of debt. I just want to encourage you and say that if you got to, first thing you got to do though is you got to quit going in debt. You got to quit spending. And the real issue is this. Okay, here's the first and the primary issue. If you want to get out of debt, the first thing you got to do is you got to deal with how did I get this deep in debt to begin with. What is the root issue? It's possible that it was an unforeseen tragedy. Nothing you can do about that. Most Americans, that's not the case. Most of the times we go deep into debt because of one of three reasons. Either carelessness, we just don't realize what we're spending. And that's the thing with credit cards, is you just don't even realize till the bill comes in what you spent. It's just carelessness. We just spend without any thought of income versus outgo. We've never even sat down to work out a budget. We've never budgeted. We've never tried to figure out, here's what's coming in, here's what's going out. And it's just carelessness is how a lot of people get into debt. They just aren't even tracking it. And then other people, it's covetousness. Their wanter is out of control. Do y'all know what a wanter is? Yeah, we all have a wanter, don't we? And sometimes our wanter gets out of control. We want this and we want that. It's covetousness, and we end up spending too much. And then the third reason that people go into debt is not only carelessness and covetousness, but corruption. Three C's. Carelessness, covetousness, or corruption. Corruption just means we spend money on corruptible things that really have no value at all. We don't need them in our life. They're bad for us. Could be addictions, could be habits. It could be just silliness, that things that we don't need. It's just corruption. So there's three different reasons there why many times we end up deep in debt. And I remember when we were young marrieds, that we made some commitments. We're like, you know what? We want to live generous lives. That's what we want to do. We want to be like Christ, and we want to be able to really, we want to be able to like give big time to the Lord. And so we made a commitment. We're like, okay, we're not going to live for the material. We're not going to live for the dot. We're going to live for the line, for eternity. And we said, number two, we're going to control our spending. You know, our attitude was, we're not going to put it on credit. We're going to save up and then pay cash if we feel like we need something. But we're not just going to go out and put it on a credit card and just start digging a hole for ourselves. So we never did that. And we said, number three, we're going to control our debt. Control our spending. We're going to cap our spending, and we're going to control our debt. And in your handout there, it says that excessive spending and out of control debt, really they're just warning signs of a deeper issue, and that is that we love things more than we love God. It's hard to have a servant mindset when we're living as servants to our debt or our spending habits. Let me say that again before you put your handout up. Everybody starts packing up when we get that last blank. Sometimes I have some really good stuff I say after the last blank, believe it or not. Let me say it again, because that's a really important statement. It's hard to have a servant mindset when we're living as servants to our debt or our spending habits. These three commitments will allow you to be generous like our Savior and experience true joy, contentment, eternal reward, and live for the line instead of just the dot. Amen, church? Let's go to the Lord in prayer, and I hope this has been a help to you.